You are listening to the Photo Bomb Podcast with the world's greatest photographers, Boo Ray and Gary.
Welcome to the Photo Bomb Podcast. My name is Gary Hughes, and today it will be conspicuously different because I am not with my dear friend and colleague Boo Ray Perry, but sitting in live here from the Maine Professional Photographers Association in their party room at night after the convention programming is my good friend Trish Logan.
Hey Gary, glad to have you here in Maine with us.
I'm excited to have a true Yankee on the show, so that's really super exciting. We've got Richard Sturtevant is here at the table. He doesn't have a microphone, but he's going to be there. We're going to talk all about the size of his feet. But we do have a special guest, and we have lots of people milling around. You probably hear the party going on in the background. But we do have a special guest live on the phone with us right now, Mr. Boo Ray Perry. Hiya, Boo Ray.
I'm not sure why I'm here exactly.
Pretty much just I wanted to just be on the show because the show says your name is on the show.
Yeah. But you just said that I wasn't, that you, it was different because I wasn't here, and then now I'm here.
Well, really, Boo Ray, we just called to tell you we were having a great time in Maine, and you're not here.
It sounds like there's a lot of people there, big party.
Well, it is Maine, there's not a lot of people in the whole state, but there are.
But they're all here, every one of them is here.
There are some warm bodies here, so it's a pretty exciting time. Hey, how was your road trip, by the way? You just went on your road trip with your family.
It was actually not as bad as I thought it would be. 18 hours straight driving, but we had a really nice van. You're a big proponent of the van.
I do like the minivan.
So, you know, we got the van, and I had the multi-plug so everybody could plug all their electronics in. There was no fighting from the children. You know, it's not like when we were kids with the, you know, stop hitting your brother.
Well, what was the most notable part? I noticed you took a lot of photos of your trip.
Yeah, a few. Not too many, you know. I went to Six Flags. I rode a roller coaster that I really should not have ridden.
Dude, you're too fucking old for a roller coaster.
Like, it's like, yeah, it's called the Titan, and it's like a 300-foot drop straight down into like an 8G bottom out. So basically, your head just goes right through your body and out your ass. And it's really not something you should do if you're over 21.
You know, guys like you that are unbalanced to begin with, you might not want to go into like any great G-force there, Boo Ray. I'm just telling you.
You shouldn't ride roller coasters when you have irritable bowels. You should not do that thing. So do you want to hang in for the whole show, Boo, or did you want to like, I don't know. I'm not really sure what I want to do with you, to be honest.
Are you trying to get rid of me?
Yeah, kind of, I guess. I don't know. You sound exhausted.
But I want to hear what Chris
says. You what now?
I don't want to talk much, but I do want to hear what Chris says.
I can't. I'm sorry. You're breaking up. I'm going to have to let you go.
Bye, Boo Ray. Nice talking to you.
We're going to check back in. Stay on Skype, Boo Ray. I'm losing my connection. I'm going to get on the hotel Wi-Fi and call you back. All right. See you later. So that's Boo Ray.
Wow, that was great talking to him. It sounds like he had a good trip and he's well rested.
It's so funny that he runs the show. Like, it's his show. He's the talent. Like, and I'm just the guy who says stupid things in between him saying awesome stuff. And so this is the first time I've ever done the show without him leading the show.
Can I just say, like, you know, having listened to the podcast and all and now being part of it, it's obvious Boo Ray is the brains of the operation, Gary.
Super classy. Go right for the jugular. I love that. No, but so we are here at the Maine Professional Photographers Association annual convention, and Trish, you are the president?
I am.
How's that going?
Well, pretty good for like 24 more hours, and then it's going to be great.
Yeah, this is pretty cool. We got some pretty exciting speakers. We got the world famous Richard Sturtevant is here, and he's going to be teaching tomorrow. That's pretty exciting.
We do. We have great talent. We had Gary doing his headshot program for us earlier. We've got Lou Freeman.
I was just talking to Lou Freeman.
She was just here.
I didn't realize how hot she was in person. Like,
she's beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Absolutely. If she's still here, maybe we'll get her on at some point. I don't know. But yeah, man, it's pretty cool. We got to judge. The print competition was awesome. You guys had some really strong image makers. The results haven't completely come out yet, so we can't really talk about the results.
Yeah, our award banquet is tomorrow night. We threw 100 out there, and that was pretty exciting.
Yeah, there was
the
an image that scored 100.
Very loud. Very cool.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. Yeah. I'm pretty excited about it. So I had my first Maine lobster today. So, I mean, since we're in Maine, can we talk about some Maine-specific things? Because you guys have some weird shit up here. Like, people talk funny.
Well, they do. Because for me, I'm from Boston. So all the new things I had to, it was like a whole new vocabulary. It's like a Maine dictionary.
What's that?
They're wicked good.
It's wicked good.
It's a wicked good.
You can tell we have a lot of people in the room.
Wicked pisser.
Wicked pisser,
Richard
yeah.
said.
That's Richard,
nice,
everybody.
Richard.
What I learned, my favorite is ayah.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like totally, you can put it pretty much into any situation.
It's all in the tone you deliver it.
We were trying to figure out all the uses of ayah. It's like yes, no, maybe, like it can pretty much be in anywhere. Now, now, if you get up into this part of the country, one of the hardest things to master is the proper use of the word wicked.
Wicked, yeah.
Wicked.
Well, wicked means everything.
Wicked.
Wicked means everything. So give me an example of wicked.
Like Sturdivant, man. He's wicked good.
He's wicked good.
Wicked good.
Wicked hardcore.
Wicked. Wicked. Wicked hardcore. That's a good one.
Is that a
yeah.
wicked hard slap shot?
He's wicked good. So we met Richard, and we tried to explain to him that wicked pissa was really good. And I'm not quite sure he actually believes me.
I thought wicked pissa is bad.
No, it's not.
Bob Akers told me earlier that if you fall and bust your ass on the ice, that that's a wicked pissa.
Yeah, that could be bad. It could be good. It's like, yeah. It's all in the tone, man. All in the tone.
Richard, if you want to participate, you got to get your whistle up on the microphone.
Up, yeah,
you
got
to get up there, man. You get on it. Get your face next to Trisha's. Introduce yourself. How you doing?
Hey, nice to meet you.
I tell you what, we've been talking about Richard all day, and I've been doing the... I've been doing a Richard Sturdivant impression for a while now.
He has.
And
he has.
The best part of my day was Richard doing an impression of me doing an impression of him. It was the most meta shit that's ever happened to me. We were on a committee together at PPA, and there was this moment where he just says the funniest stuff. I mean, Richard, you're the best. You're honestly like the best at what you do. But man, sometimes you say the funniest shit. And I'll do my best, Richard, and then you can get on the mic and we can see who sounds more like Richard. All right, there we go.
Let's see if you can tell the difference. Everybody, listen closely.
I taught this workshop down in Texas, and this girl took my class, and now she's killing it, man. She's killing it right now.
All right, was that Richard or was that me? Go ahead.
All right, Gary, now you do Richard.
Richard, would you get on the damn microphone?
Well, we've actually dropped Richard into like total despair here because he's like, what the heck is going on?
Get on the mic, Richard.
He was like, that was so much like me. Was that me? He's like, I already said it. What's the problem?
Listeners, if you're not familiar with the work, what's your website, Richard?
Sturdivinci.com.
And so go check out his work. He's pretty amazing. So now I want you to do me doing you. You got to get on that mic. Get on there.
Well, I judged today with Gary Hughes, and I taught him a few things, and I tell you, he's going to be killing it from here on out. I got him on board with 100 today, and he's just he just had a moment of ecstasy when he was on there, and he just like, I want to be with you all the time, Mr. Sturdivant.
Now, was that me, or was that you doing me doing you?
That was me doing you doing me. Oh. that didn't really come out right.
So we are
close, by the way.
Apparently very close. So, Richard, here's the deal. I went into the juror charge this morning, and all the jurors are standing there, and I had been with Gary yesterday doing the Sturdivant impressions. So I get in there, and the first thing I do is, oh, good morning, Richard. And I'm like, oh, my God, did I really just do that? Like, I just did the Sturdivant thing.
I will
but
tell you that.
It was Gary doing Sturdivant.
Yeah, it's not
saying
Richard.
Hello to,
it's me doing Richard.
Yeah, it was definitely, and mine was not really good.
I'm not going to say I'm the greatest photographer in the world. But if you want to say it, I'm not going to correct you.
So when I did it, right, I did my good morning, hey guys, good morning. Mine was more like Mr. T does Gary Hughes imitating Richard Sturdivant. It was bad.
So we had a great moment. We use this system here in Maine. The competition is through printcompetition.com. And there's this great system to be able to do. And one of the things that they offer is that anybody participating in the competition can listen or watch live from their mobile device, from their computer, or you can be in the room, or they have a great thing called Club 79 where you can watch from the other room and be rowdy so the judges aren't disturbed. And sorry,
really,
I'm drinking beer.
Really, Gary? Yeah.
Oh, man, I smelled that. That was terrible.
Look at me, live from the hospitality suite at the
Not
Maine
getting edited out, by the way.
Convention.
That was some professional radio right there.
Wow.
And so what you don't realize is that now that when you're judging, there's a microphone there, like a little flat microphone sitting underneath. And so Richard is one of these guys. He's a cut-up when we're judging because he'll every once in a while lean over and whisper something to you. And so are you familiar, Trish, with the concept of man-spreading?
No, 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 I'm not. No. Do I want to know? Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Do I really? Richard, do I want to know?
You do want to know.
Oh, I bet I don't, but go ahead.
Manspreading's good for you.
Man. Richard.
I'm not saying it's
Richard
good for
doing
you.
Me doing
but
Richard.
It could be.
But if you want to say it.
I'm not going to argue with you.
So manspreading is when you have a man sitting on like a subway or in a public place or on a bench.
Oh, I do know what that is.
And they spread themselves out as wide as they possibly can.
I got a wide spread.
I'm telling you what. So we're sitting here and I have my like feet at normal width and my knees at normal width. And I'm judging next to Richard sitting next to me. And so, and I keep feeling something bump up against my leg and I keep kind of scooting over. And then his leg's touching me still. And I scoot over more and his leg's touching me still. I'm like, is this guy coming on to me?
No, no, man.
And then I look over, and his knees are so far apart, it looks like he's having a prostate exam. Now, here's the other thing about Richard
that
you don't know.
I've always made room to breathe.
If you ever meet Richard, his package is so big, it looks like he's wearing a diaper. It's true. That's why his knees are so far apart. So we're sitting here. I'm sorry, but it's true. So we're judging. And then I made a comment to – get off of me, James. And I made a comment to Richard about how he was manspreading. And he goes, yeah, I can't even cross my legs. And the microphone was on.
And in Club 79, we did hear that. And we were like, wow.
Yeah.
It is bigger.
It's impressive. Everything is bigger.
This is not going to be there, dude. Oh, my word.
You're in the room, brother. That's what happens to you.
We told you to sit next to us, and you could trust us, right?
Holy crap. Yeah, so this is another one of these events where we're probably drinking too much to do this. But we are out of episodes pre-recorded, so something's got to come out on Monday, and it's going to be this huge pile of crap. So when we run out of stuff to talk about, we'll get Bure back on the line. So what else is going on here in Maine, man, in the Maine PPA? You guys are affiliate of the PPA. You're the president. What did you do this year?
Oh, we've done a lot. We've actually gone into Periscope, you know, kind of followed that.
Richard. Everybody is misbehaving. There's like 10 people in here, and everybody is trying to, like, blow photobomb the photobomb podcast.
You can't see us, but it's probably a good thing.
It's the sports-themed party, and so half of the people wore it's Patriots and Red Sox jerseys.
Shh,
please do not blow that whistle into the damn microphone.
I will not.
This is what we call manspreading.
Oh, no. So Richard is now straddling Trish from behind in a very platonic way.
Yeah, right.
I'm perfectly happy at home.
Yeah, hey, Richard, you recently got married.
I did.
You got to get on the microphone, buddy. I only got one.
I did.
And you moved to Tennessee. You betrayed Texas and moved
no,
to Tennessee.
No, I did not betray Texas. I'm a Texan living in Tennessee. I will never be a Tennessean.
You're in exile or in Texile.
No, I'm in my retirement home.
Yeah, so that's awesome. And Ben Shirk did your wedding pictures, and they look amazing.
He made me look like Prince Charming for one day.
Which, man, that's pretty awesome. That's a huge feat.
It was a huge feat, but Ben's pretty good. So.
Yeah, he's
really good at Photoshop. Is that
he
true?
He is good at Photoshop.
He is indeed.
And I asked him to come down to do the wedding, and he agreed, and it was pretty awesome because I wanted to have the best.
You know, I really love that your real voice sounds like the voice that I put on when I make fun of you. It actually really does sound like that. So, even focus. This is like inside.
Really loud. It's
I don't
crazy.
Mind loud. It actually sounds pretty cool. Like stuff's going on.
Yeah,
you know?
Definitely.
So we had a. Here's the thing.
Let's
so,
talk about dinner. Let's talk about what a great dinner we had.
We had lobster.
Lobster.
I didn't get invited to dinner.
Yeah. Well, you were sleeping.
I was sleeping.
I love that he can't turn the voice off now.
But he's well rested now, so obviously here he
got
is
lots
back
of energy.
With us, right?
I took some Claritin. I'm cleared up.
You know, Richard, you said earlier, and this is absolutely true, and we see each other several times throughout the year at different conventions and events, and every time I see you, you're sick. But you're only sick when
you're there.
Yeah. Is it because you
I'm
don't want to hang out with
Gary
me? Is it because you don't want to hang out with me?
I don't know. You didn't take my hand on the manspread in the day.
Oh, my God. You know, there's nothing more intimidating than stepping up next to a urinal standing next to Richard Sturman.
Oh, my God. Like, really? Are we back to that? Like, I was doing so good. I sat down and I said, wow, Richard, sit down. You can trust us. It'll be good.
Yeah,
now I'm thinking maybe I was the one that was duped. What do you think?
Yeah.
I was like, Carrie was like, Trish, you can trust me.
I was trying to bring Trish in here to get some, like, gravitas to the proceedings, you know, some real, like, credibility
the
onto
class,
the show.
Right? And, yeah, here we go.
But apparently that's not in the cards.
No,
but,
probably not.
So we are here again at the Maine Professional Photography Association in Portland, Maine, in the hotel hospitality suite, partying with the good members of the Maine Professional Photographers Association. Super excited about it. Now, as we were saying before, you guys had a pretty cool lineup this year at the convention. Not to brag, but also including myself, which you guys let me come and do my headshot program.
Yeah, it was great.
Which
was
nobody
great.
Does.
They always need filler.
Dickhead.
Yeah.
You know, Richard.
You know, Richard, I'm so glad you're here.
This is my show.
This is going to be wonderful. This is good. This is working great, Richard. Tell me more about Gary, Richard.
I'm so glad I did not bring a third microphone for you. Like, seriously, here's the thing. I was going to teach my class, and I was getting ready to pack, and I hate checking luggage, especially when I'm traveling with my photography equipment. So I was like, am I going to bring the podcast equipment, or am I going to bring my camera case? So I had to get Trish to get all the gear together for me so I wouldn't have to bring my camera to teach my class, for which I needed a camera, and I packed all my gear with my podcasting stuff
instead. If I could, though, let's just kind of remind everybody it was the Professional Photographers Convention where you were coming to teach, photography.
Yeah, well, all
right. Go ahead, Gary, tell us more.
No, it went well, but, you know, I don't like traveling with my crap, you know? Like, it's true. But I don't check bags, so I take one carry-on, and I rolled up 4 long-sleeve shirts and used them as packaging to insulate my podcast and the soundboard and stuff in my carry-on suitcase.
That means he's wearing the same jeans and underwear for 4 days.
Oh, man, that's another story. Let him finish this one first, because that's a whole new story.
So I get to Maine. And
wait a minute. Let me, if I could.
Oh, please.
He doesn't get to Maine. He calls me on the phone with this message. Dude, I had to make a decision.
I already bring my equipment.
I'm already on the plane, and I wondered, could I borrow some of your camera equipment? Oh. It's true, Richard. Say, oh, my, because you know it's true. So I'm like, what do you need? He's like, oh, you know, a 5, whatever. We do, you know. So we get him all hooked up, right? And he comes with all of his podcast, you know, stuff. And then he gets in, and he starts teaching his class, takes the pictures, and takes my camera and goes, oh, feel free to pass this around the room, and lets it loose into the room in the workshop.
I didn't have it tethered, so everybody wanted to see how the pictures were coming out.
So people are like, is that your camera? I'm like, in the back of the room, man, that is my camera. Like, what the heck is he doing?
Right? I totally didn't even keep track of where it went.
Well, I did, because I was in the back of the room watching my camera like, squirrel.
That's just a straight-up pisser.
It was a wicked pisser, I'll tell you. A wicked pisser.
So I get to Maine, and then I realize when I get here, and I'm sitting on the bed, and I'm going through. I've got a lot. I'm finishing up my presentation. I got my computer on my lap. And then I go to put it away, and I'm sitting Indian style. I look down and realize there's a big hole in the crotch of my jeans, like a Sturdivant style hole in the crotch of my jeans. And so I only brought one pair of jeans because I like to travel light. I'm only here 3 days. I can wear a pair of jeans for 3 days. That's not a big deal. It's cold up here. Who cares? So I had to have Nicole, wonderful Nicole, drive me to Macy's to get another pair of jeans. And so I don't want to walk around with a hole in my crotch. So I go to the guy in Macy's, and I say, like, okay, I need to wear these out of here. Like, how do we do that? And so he had it, like, all set up so that he put the jeans in the bag that I was wearing and walked me out the door so that nobody stopped me with security with my jeans. And I used that very unfunny anecdote to open up my presentation yesterday about how I had a hole in the crotch of my jeans.
There are a few of us that were kind of like, is he so nervous? Maybe he needed dry pants? We were like, we weren't really sure.
It's been a while since I had that problem when I was teaching, you know. But
with these brand new jeans that he has, we're all sitting in the hospitality suite.
Oh, crap.
And here goes Gary, right? Sitting, hanging out, hands in his pocket, you know, talking to people, leaning in and everything else. And we look down and we're like, Gary, are you cold? And he's like, no, why? His hands are blue. Like he has not seen heat in like a million years, right? So he's got this brand new pair of jeans on that are making his hands blue all the way up to his like elbows, right?
And I can't like wash them.
Is that the same thing as blue balls?
No, it's blue hands, apparently. But yeah, I'm sure that the insides of my legs and also probably testicles are also blue.
Well, I'm pretty clean cut here, so I'm like, you know, your legs are blue. You know that they're going to be blue, right? So we're sitting here, and we're giving him a hard time, and we're in the hospitality suite. He gets up. He goes to the bathroom, right? You dry your hands on, you know, those, like, white hotel towels that they bleach out. I go in there, like, 10 minutes later, and he's got... All of our hand towels in the hotel hospitality suite are blue because he washed his hands and dried them.
I'm so glad I elected to do this.
Have you heard of pre-wash jeans?
Yeah, well, you know, I was in a pickle. And let me tell you, Portland's a wonderful city. Not a lot of pant options in Portland.
No, definitely not.
Not a lot of shopping going on here.
We could have gotten you like overalls or something really stylish, though. I think you would have liked.
So we had the best moment of convention last night. Is James still in here? When James, don't bring him over here. I hate him. So this member here named James, and he and I kind of hit it off. He's got a good personality. We're joking on each other. We're picking on each other right away like brothers. And so we're talking about, and I was telling this funny story about how I was driving along a couple weeks ago, and somebody took the picture of me, like, in traffic. Like, and I thought, and was I talking to you, Patty? I was talking to Patty, and Patty goes, who did she think you were? I go, I don't know. And James...
He was feeling like a rock star, though. I mean, it was
a really weird moment.
Yeah, really feeling confident moments.
Because what celebrity drives a 2007 Chrysler Town and Country?
Right. Like, with a car seat. With a car seat.
Right? It's like, it definitely wasn't anybody. Like, I had my wife and my daughter and my sister and her husband, like, all piled into the minivan, and I have no idea who this person
Maybe
thought
they
was.
Thought you were a kidnapper.
That was it. They go, that guy looks like he steals children.
Somebody make an Amber Alert. That guy looks shady.
So I'm telling Patty, who's over here, I tell her the story. And she said, who did you think that she thought you were? I was like, I don't know. I said, sometimes people tell me I look like a celebrity here. And I get that from time to time, you know. And then James goes, you look like a chubby Chris Pratt.
It was a moment. You could have heard a pin drop.
And so I had a decision. People at that moment, and it was either to be gracious and let it roll off my back
and rip him from one side to the other
and ignore that asshat, or I could spend the next 20 minutes eviscerating him in front of a room full of our peers
and horrifying the crowd, basically. Just saying it out loud. Gary Hughes, he's never coming back to Maine.
Let's just say it got mildly uncomfortable. But okay, it got very uncomfortable. But it was fine. It was fine. We had a good time. And then we made up this morning. It was fine.
Yeah,
I still
that.
Don't trust him.
No, can't be trusted.
Yeah, we got some good people. We got Will over there, who I call Nick all the time. I can't remember his name, but I think it's Will. Hey, Will.
Hi.
Don't look at me, James. I just told our story. You're still a dick. I don't know what's wrong with these people.
I don't know.
So anyway, moving on. So I have two pretty amazing professionals here, and we like to have at least some educational content in the show. A little bit. So, Richard, I'm going to fall on you for this, because Trish doesn't have anything worth saying.
Thanks a lot. Thanks,
that's just telling the blue hand story.
Feeling the love. You know what? It had to be told. Don't judge me.
Get out of here, James. Nobody likes you.
You said you eviscerated me on air?
No.
Yeah,
no.
This thing's going to be a throwdown.
No, that's all right. You're good people. I appreciate your patience. No, you were actually facing this way. You were just in the other room. All right, we're trying to get to some educational content. Oh, Jesus.
Oh, Jesus.
He's just...
He did it.
Okay, listeners at home, James just pulled his pants down and put his butt on me.
That's not true.
The Photobomb podcast has just officially reached a new low.
Oh, I don't know about that, but it's close.
Still nothing tops Melanie Anderson.
No.
That's for you,
ever
Melanie.
Will.
If you want to go back and listen to the Live from Imaging USA show and you can hear what we're talking about, that's also important. So, Richard, your program's tomorrow. What are you going to teach?
I don't know. Chris, what am I teaching? I just show up and then they just tell me where to go.
Well, let me tell you. He's going to do a great program. He's going to do some sports photography.
Oh, is it sports?
Yeah. Sports, football. Yeah.
You don't even know what you're teaching tomorrow.
I show up, my game is already brought.
Oh, yeah. Got that. So could you bring like I do have a cold,
but I took Claritin, so I'm better now. That's why I'm in here talking to
you. You're always sick. Like the last three or four times I've seen you speak, you're always sick.
I know. You've already said that.
I know.
You've always been there.
Yeah.
So I gotta be honest with you.
There's a connection.
I'm kind of like a word person, and the fact that he took Claritin at the Clarion has gone through my mind a few times.
We're at the Clarion Hotel.
We're at the Clarion Hotel here in Portland, Maine.
You got a little OCD there?
I do, just a little bit. Have you noticed? Yeah.
Which is why she's such a go-getter, right? So, Trish, you are president, right? But you're also like where nobody knew who you were, like, 3 years ago.
Well, thank you.
And now
that,
it's
Gary.
Like you're all over the place. You are all over the place.
Sean says he knew who I was.
Oh, we have Sean from H&H back here who bought everybody's dinner tonight, by
very
the way.
Very good, very good.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously.
Great party in the hospitality. Yeah,
he took like 14 people out for lobster.
And then paid for the party
and then
here. He's my guy. Sean's awesome. We love that lab.
Everyone loves the lab.
For those of you disenfranchised photographers looking for work, H&H apparently has a lot of money and they might be hiring. No, we actually we use H&H for volume stuff. That's a great lab.
They
I totally recommend
awesome.
Those guys. That's
awesome.
Great. Yeah, but so you
talk
do...
about well the nobody I was. That was really good. Like,
yeah,
you
were basically nobody. Yeah.
She signed me for about a year ago, and now she's killing it. And,
Yeah, Trish Logan took my program, and now she's
killing
totally
it.
Killing it right now. I'm not saying I'm the best teacher in the world or anything, but if you want to
say it. I'm not going to argue with you.
It's uncanny that you cannot tell the difference between Richard and I when we're on the microphone.
Somehow I'm not getting credit for having that good, the same good, you know, start event impression.
Now let's give credit where credit's due. You are doing me... based off of Jen Hellingay doing me, and you're doing Jen Hellingay doing me, and I'm doing you doing Jen Hellingay doing me, and you. I don't know how that all makes sense.
No matter how it comes back, it's either it either goes back to Kevin Bacon or Mr. T. I'm really not sure what the degrees of separation are.
If you're not familiar, Jen Hellingay has been on the show before. We have an awesome episode with her, but she does the ultimate best Richard Sturtevant impression in the world, which we'll have to have her back on the show to do it.
And she looks cute when she does.
She makes the creepiest face when she does
it. Are you trying to say I'm creepy?
Yes. Yes, you are. Just a little. You know, that's all right, though. Apparently, people take my picture because they think I stole a child. You ever think, like, I take my daughter to the park, right? And so I'm always, like, I'm wearing, like, sweatpants. I've got a beard. I don't get dressed up to take my daughter to the park. And she looks exactly like my wife and not very much like me. And so you're there, and there's a bunch of moms and nannies with their kids, and they're looking at like my daughter, like, are you okay, little girl?
Yeah, blink
is that
twice
your daddy?
If you're here voluntarily. You know what the thing is, too? It's like that infamous Gary Hughes.
Me?
From the milk crate. That guy in the milk carton.
What are you talking about?
Like your picture in the post office, you know?
Mine?
You
no. It would be the kids I steal would be on
the
milk carton.
Well, the milk crate. You would be in the post office, yeah.
The most wanted. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
He's like, oh, look, I'm the world's greatest dad. My picture's in the post office.
See, honey? Dad's important.
He is from Florida.
We do have a lot of
That's
messed
like
up stuff happening in Florida.
Right.
I was talking to Bob Akers earlier tonight, and we were talking about... photo shoots by lakes and I was like, you can't do photo shoots by lakes. There's too many alligators. And he goes, really? I go, yeah. I said, there's about a 1.1 million or so alligators around Florida.
Alligators?
I said,
What's an alligator?
Alligators.
Alligators.
Alligators, they put stuff where it's supposed to go.
Those alligators, they put those gators there just to scare Gary away.
So I told him there's 1.1 million alligators in Florida. I said, and did you know, like, it's crazy, but alligators kill about 15,000 people a year in the state of Florida. And he goes, oh, my God.
And yet Gary was still blessed to have him here, right?
Which is totally a made-up fact. I think 1 year, 4 people got killed by alligators, and it was like Alligator Mageddon in the state of Florida. It's like everybody was like, the alligators are coming to get us. But no, not many people. Alligators are scared of people, but we do have them. No, there is messed up stuff in Florida. Florida's always in the news for something really strange. We had in the news just a couple of weeks ago, and Jeff Rojas, who's been on the show before, a photographer from New York, always gives me crap about being from Orlando and how messed up Florida is. And somebody, a guy, took a live gator, like a 4-foot gator, and threw it through the drive-thru window of a Wendy's.
Would they like, do you want fries with that?
That's pretty dissatisfied with it. I feel like there's a really good pun in here that Boo Ray would get on, but actually, let's get Boo Ray back on the show here. Hold on, let me see if I can get him. We're going to call him. All right, stay on. I told him to stay on. Here it comes. Yeah, there's a pun in
here. Can Boo Ray do like a Sturdivant impression?
I don't know.
That would be interesting.
That would be interesting. Should we challenge him to it?
We should challenge him.
Do you hear my voice? Like, I cannot even speak because we've just been laughing so hard for a couple of days here.
Yeah, it is. It's, you know, you get the convention funk where you sound like you've been to a convention. All right, he's not answering. All right, he'll call back. Okay. Oh, there you go. Right on. Yeah, so I am from Florida. Yes, messed up things happen here. But Maine's pretty messed up, too. We were talking earlier at dinner
tonight. How so, Gary?
About the lobster mafia.
Isn't he a guest here?
Yeah.
Well, this time, but probably not again. But
the lobster mafia. The lobster mafia. Is that not a thing?
Was I not sitting at your end of the table? Like,
no,
what
were
the
you?
Heck
no, you were like three seats down from me.
Not close enough to hear about the lobster mafia.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about?
Is that like a thing?
How the lobster industry is locked down by a few companies who have get all the lobsters, and they sink each other's boats, and they do a bunch of messed up stuff to each other so that they can keep their lobster business.
Really? That sounds like a Netflix episode.
It would be a really cool reality show.
24, you know, like Lifetime.
Speaking of Netflix, just started watching Daredevil season 2. Did anybody get on that yet? Mm-hmm. You just been here? Yeah? Yeah? Did you watch it in your hotel room, Sean? I was watching it in my room yesterday. It's pretty awesome.
Right after House of Cards.
Right after House of Cards. After I got my new pants.
When he ripped his pants.
House of Cards, great kids show. Really into that one. My children love House of Cards. They really do. And Boo Ray lets his kids watch that, which is really exciting.
Well, he did that trip. He probably had, like, you know, the DVD player in the car watching House of Cards season. On the family vacation.
We were talking about how kids nowadays are, like, overstimulated with technology. You know what I mean?
Yep.
They were even talking about it on The View. By the way, last time I watched The View, was a completely different group of people. Does anybody watch that show? Have you? Okay, yeah. You all have standards.
We don't watch it because it's like a totally different group of people, like for me.
Like Lance Bass was on there. There's a guy on The View now. I mean, he's gay, but whatever. But like there's a guy on The View, which is totally bizarre. But they were talking about how, you know, kids now you can put them in a car and you could just give an iPad. But I was at a family gathering the other day, and one of my cousin's kids was at a family dinner for a birthday party, and they gave him an iPad, and he was listening. He was on the iPad the entire time, like didn't talk to anybody.
That's sad.
Yeah,
sad.
Like it's messed up, right?
Yep.
Like
tragic.
Is that weird?
Tragic.
One of our local radio DJs was talking to me one morning, and he said that they did a big study about younger people, and the number two thing they needed on their list was internet. The first thing was freedom of speech. Before like
internet,
water,
before
food,
freedom of
housing, I mean anything. Like it was like that high on the list that the internet was it. Like
I see that. I see that. See, I have a 17-year-old in my house.
When we were kids, we didn't need all that. We just went outside and played. I mean, I used to go to the woods and play with myself all the time.
Still does.
Oh, I mean, like by myself, not.
Yeah.
I got a joke that reminds me of that. Okay. So there's an old man and a little boy walking in the woods. And the little boy looks up at the old man and says, "Gee, mister, I'm scared." The old man says, "You're scared? I got to walk out of here by myself." Yeah, you know, we played outside when I was kids, right? It was like the biggest punishment you could get when I was a kid is your parents would make you stay inside, you know? And we even had Nintendo and stuff, but it wasn't even a big deal now. You know, and my daughter is like 1 year old and she knows how to turn on my phone and talk to Siri. Like it's insane. We have my wife's nephew goes up to his TV. They have a big flat screen TV, and he tries to change the channel by wiping his grubby little fingerprints are all over the screen, trying to change the channel by swiping the screen, you know? And all these changes have affected our businesses so much. We talked about it in my program yesterday, like digital delivery and people not wanting prints and all the stuff that we have to do to sort of stay relevant. And so, I'm interested in the fact that we got two people here that are completely different types of businesses. But are we selling finished prints? Are we doing files? How are we managing the digital demand for our work?
For me, in my studio, we're print only.
You don't do any files?
We'll do a file if it's a wedding, or we'll do a file if it's a business professional. We are print only in my studio. So I personally have a 13-year-old and a 17-year-old, and I feel like we're in like a digital dark age. And I feel like the music that they listen to, the the lack of having prints, I feel like we've lost like a generation. So without those printed materials, our kids have nothing to throw back. You know how we do Throwback Thursday, we do all this right. stuff. What the heck are they going to throw back? And that just drives me crazy. And then their music, you can't listen to either because it's so inappropriate. They're never going to play it for their kids.
Wait, what?
Some of my kids' music is pretty inappropriate.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty sure, but that's been around
but
for
it's
a while.
Not, but it's not like it was when we...
Thanks,
like,
NWA.
Well, no, seriously. Like, when I was younger, like, my kids loved the music I listened to when I was a kid.
Well, you know, the music that was when I was a kid was like NWA. It's like, fuck the police. There's nothing worse than that, you know? Not really.
Well, we obviously come from a different generation, Gary.
Do we? We do.
It's true.
Okay, all right. So you're absolutely right. As whereas, like, I remember, I have friends that have shoeboxes of photos from everything we ever did as a kid. Every time we went to the beach, I got scrapbooks and stuff that people made. I have those things still, but now we don't have that. We had a bunch of photos that we took on our phones when we were on our honeymoon, Julie and I, and she accidentally put her phone through the laundry when we got home, and that phone was a brick, and there was no backup for it or anything, and we lost a bunch of pictures that we had taken on our honeymoon. And not like you could, you're going to print 4x6s as you go or anything like that, but it is pretty significant. Because I know that a lot of couples that buy wedding packages from us and they only get digital files, they don't typically necessarily do anything with the files ever.
That's true.
Like, they put their favorite, like, 20 images on Facebook and they never do anything. Parents will come back to me later on and order an album from the photos because their kids never did.
Hardly ever. They don't. They just want them. That's all they want.
So what about you? Because you do sports.
Retail, which includes families, you know, seniors, all portraiture work. We also do high-volume sports, but we got a little twist to that to where we add a lot of artwork to that, high volume. That's all print. All my commercial work is all digital. So anything that goes out of the studio for the retail is print.
Because it's hard to sell a commercial client on. It's not like I'm doing corporate headshots and then the CEO is getting a 40x60 for the wall. That's not typically the type of work you do. Well, some of that is out there, though. So there are areas of your business where you have to give a digital file.
Oh, absolutely.
Like,
absolutely.
Every wedding magazine now tells them they have to ask for the digital files, but... I find that what are some, like, a creative way that you have found when somebody's asking to get files that you educate them?
We do a lot of books and things like that. So we're telling people, like, you're not going to want absolutely every image. Pick your 20 favorites, the ones that really speak to you and matter to you. And then we'll do custom books for high school seniors and things like that. The other thing that I do is I actually have a print of my parents. And my grandparents from, like...
In the studio.
It's a 16 by 20.
That's a cool set.
It's not even sepia. It's like a gray. It's in the original frame, you know?
It's chiseled into a stone tablet.
Yeah. We took that huge piece right out of the cave, and we brought it into the studio, and we
hung it
up.
How nice for you that you could afford to do that.
I will beat you with a rock, Gary Hughes, because that's the way my people are. So, no, we do. We have a huge, huge picture.
Is that Irish martial arts?
It is that Irish martial arts, yeah.
Beating somebody with a rock?
I do the same thing. I got a 30x40 of Gary Hughes in my studio that we use to sell family portraits with.
Luckily, it was when I was thinner, James.
Dick.
So do you use them, like, in the what not to do family portraits? Or
well, it's like, you know, you want to get a family portrait because you don't want this guy abducting your kids.
What? All right, so your wedding pictures were absolutely beautiful.
Have you made an album from your wedding?
Like, they were beautiful.
Well, you know, Ben, I asked Ben as a personal favor to come out to do my wedding.
Excellent photographer and artist, Ben.
Oh,
sure.
My gosh, unbelievable talent.
Is he in Iowa?
He is in Iowa.
Yeah, he's in Iowa. Yeah.
And, you know, Ben is, last year he just got 4 100s in a print case. And
that's at the IP. Is that district competition
No, I was district for North Central. And then, you know, back in 2012 or 11, whichever it was, I got 400 print cases. Mm-hmm. So I just felt like the guy that needed to do my wedding was Ben Shirk. And we've been best friends for a long time. And he's just a wonderful, humble individual. And he agreed to come out and do it. And we just kind of made a deal where, you know, he'd just give me the files. And
what have you done with the files?
Well, I'm working on an album right now.
Actually, did I know? Because
he gave me all his. He went ahead and did an edit on the and gave me the Lightroom presets for the look that he had intended.
Give me the dirt. Yes. What's it like looking at Ben Shirk's files?
It's awesome.
They look good, like just as
just
they
like
are.
You, just like looking at my files.
Damn it! I hope he's.
Because you know what? Because Gary, there's not, even though we're good at Photoshop, we're damn good photographers.
Now you do get a lot of flack for that because people have said about you and about artists like Ben too. It's like that you wouldn't be who you are. You wouldn't be anything without like the digital manipulation that you do on your images. But I've seen you shoot. I've seen your work, and your stuff right as you take it is damn on point.
Well, that's because I know what I'm doing.
Good for you.
And the thing about it is I use the tools that are available to me now. I'm not wanting to be just a photographer. I'm wanting to be an artist. I mean, that's what I do. I do art. I was an artist before I was a photographer. I'm just incorporating that into what I do. If I needed to build it in camera, I would do it. If I needed to make a sculpture out of rocks, that's what I would do. It doesn't matter what the medium is. I'm going to create something, and I'm going to do good at it because it's what I love to do.
So there are photographers out there, especially in competition, that feel like they should that they're more of a purist kind of a thing. And right. I have this contention. I think that like film photography was deceptive to a lot of photographers. Like, your lab corrected your photos for you, so you never saw them until they were fixed. Mm-hmm. And I think when people switched to digital, they didn't realize how crappy they actually were at photography when you get to see your images right as you take them, you know? And so, like, there are people that are like, oh, well, you need to
not
do this.
You, Richard.
Not you.
No.
Of course not you.
He was
airbrushing the Grim Reaper onto the side of a van before he was ever a photographer.
I actually did. I was good at painting the Grim Reaper.
Yeah.
I remember working with this wedding photographer, and they would get, you send your film to the lab, you threw the roll in there. It was back in the good old days. You just threw it in a bag and then went and had a glass of wine, and boom, you were a photographer.
You seem more like a Budweiser guy to me. That's crazy.
Well, I was a Budweiser, but I was trying to be a little bit more sophisticated on your show.
Not for my audience.
Because it is.
Don't try to church it up, Richard.
But I remember from the very start, the lab would always come back and, say good density, poor density, and mine always had really good density. And the owner.
I've always said you're very dense.
Thank you, Gary.
God, I saw that one coming, Richard. Really? Wow.
That was
really
a softball.
Richard.
I apologize.
We knew.
I'm better than that.
You're not, Gary. Yeah, you're not better than that.
Obviously, you've proved you're not. Just saying.
But I remember the photographer I worked for, which would talk about how great a photographer was, but I remember seeing all of his envelopes come in and on the film, and they would always make notes on there, grossly overexposed. Grossly overexposed.
Oh, they would tell you how bad you screwed up.
Yeah, they would tell you if they were under, over, the density was good and or bad. And he would overexpose these all the time. And I knew back then that, the lab took care of a lot of us and made us think we were better than we really were. And when digital came in, all of a sudden, that's where the big hiccup came in. And it was like, whoo, I gotta get better as a photographer. And one thing I pride myself as a photographer, and my lab, that I use, BWC, they always say that every file that you send us is consistent. If I send them a wedding, it's consistent all the way through. It's just a matter of knowing the tools of the trade and having a good eye and knowing how to control light.
So let me ask you: you operate at a pretty high level. The work that you
not right
you
now do, I'm not
not right now
I'm not on this show.
We're pretty lowbrow. Yeah. You operate at a pretty high level, and what I'm interested at is when you have had as much success, especially in print competition that you have had. Where do you draw inspiration for your ideas? Because I have said about you more than once that it would probably drive most people insane to live inside your head. Like the stuff that you make, if that's bouncing around in your head on a daily basis, that it would be, kind of interesting to see what's going on in there. But where do you draw inspiration from to come up with ideas for new stuff? Is it just randomly comes to you in a dream and you wake up and write it down, or is it like, what do you are you into modern art? Like, what's your deal?
Oh, I get inspiration from everywhere. Go to art galleries, movies. I draw off of everything that's there. I may not be inspired by the theme of the movie, but I may be inspired by the lighting of the movie or the mood of the scene.
You know what? That movie that reminded me of you so much was that
Sucker Punch.
Sucker Punch.
Deadpool.
Yeah, that movie was like
Sucker Punch had me all over it.
It was like a 90-minute Richard Sturtevant image. It really was. If you haven't seen that movie, the movie kind of sucked, but the visuals were unbelievable. It was a really cool movie.
You know what kind of blew me away is I got to be a trustee for Richard at the New England Institute for a week, and just watching.
That was so awesome.
It was amazing.
And she's killing it right now.
I'm killing it, man, because of it.
She was my assistant, and she's killing it.
And I'm killing it.
And she's regarded as a very respected person here in Maine. Now,
you know, since nobody knew me, you know, back in the day,
nobody knew who you were, and now everybody knows you.
So, what
I'm a star maker,
you are, yeah, you're amazing. So one of the things that I asked him is, like, how his brain works. You know, when he looks at images, remember I asked you, do you see it, like, three-dimensionally? Do you see it in layers? Like, what, you know, it amazes me the way, even when you judge, that you look at an image. And do you see things in Photoshop layers? Do you see them in painted layers? I know you study the masters. How do you look at an image?
That's an interesting question, because when I was, I think it was 10 or 11, went on a field trip to the Dallas Art Institute of Dallas.
Oh, that's a great story. You told me this.
Or Dallas awesome. Museum of Art's what it was. The other one's a school. And I went in and I was looking at this painting, and I was just staring at it. I was like, everybody left me alone, and the whole group moved on, and teacher came back, and she said, Richard, what are you doing? And I said, I'm looking at the layers. And I didn't even know what a layer was. Photoshop didn't even exist at that time. I could look at a painting and I could separate it in my mind. I could separate the layers of paint that an artist created. I mean,
and if you know anything about painting, you know that you have to sort of have a lot of forethought and planning. It's not like you just make it. You have to do certain layers in a certain way in order to create effects for that image to have the qualities that it has.
Right.
And so you're saying you're looking at it and seeing the dimensions of what the artist was doing when they made it.
Correct. Yeah. And I've always just had that ability. I've had the ability to see light, and I've really just kind of honed in on that skill. And it's called what I call feeling the light. I just kind of feel it. I mean, I see it, but I feel it as well. And to me, lighting is all about mood. It can create tension. It can create joy. It can create a softness. It can create an anger. You know, just with your lighting. And so I've always tried to incorporate that in my paintings. I don't get a lot of credit for being a great photographer because I excel so much in Photoshop, but I'm a really good photographer. I'm solid. My lighting patterns are solid. My knowledge is solid. And if you look at my work, you'll see solid lighting all the way through. And plus, one thing about print competition taught me is how to play chess, because when you are creating an image, especially for competition, you have to make a plausible explanation for why the lighting is there. So if I have a strip light hitting my subject at a 45-degree angle in the rear, I got to be able to explain it. Where is that lighting coming from? If I got them in a natural environment, where is it coming from? So I have to create a lighting source for that. And so it's like a chess game. I have to be able to predict what that viewer or what that judge is going to see and what they're going to say, and I got to counter move them before they ever see it.
But it not only has made you more successful at competition, and it's also made your work better that you deliver to your clients.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And thus, I'm delivering competition-level quality to volume clients for all my sports.
Now, that blows me away.
Yeah.
That's really cool stuff. So you're doing volume sports photography and giving them that polished level of work is pretty wild. How much does that set you apart from people in your area?
It set me apart a great deal, especially the first year I did it. I mean, I had to figure out a way to get my average up because it's good money, but you want to make more money.
Right.
Instead of
$6,000 and doing 75 clients a year, you're doing 7,500 clients at $16 a year something like that.
Yeah, I mean, you want to go out and you shoot a football team in one day, you want to make 20 grand, you know, and to do that, you've got to be able to give them a product that will get your average up. You know, if your average is sitting around for most normal packages, you know, you're probably around $45, $55 average on your sports team.
For a football team or any sport?
Yeah, for each individual package. And so my goal was, can I get it up to 125? And And if I can get it up to 125, I'm going to make a lot more money.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, math, and, et cetera.
And while this Common Core math doesn't really work too well.
You can tell he's from Texas.
But but in any case, I mean, I decided to sit down. I said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to create a certain look for each school, and I'm going to be showing this tomorrow. I'm going to create this look, and I'm going to put my high-end work on it. So let's say I put about 4 or 5 hours into this print. Then I turn it into a template to where I can just bring in the subject. And so I did that, and that first year, I mean, I sold 37 out of 60 students on that first morning at $125. I didn't think rocket science, just figure. I just added $125 times 37 to my already $55 average. And so thus, it was like, you know, okay, we got something going on here. So the next year, I added different size posters. I added different posters. And I kept my menu, I call it my menu, my price list. I kept it simple because when you go into a Mexican restaurant, I always want to try something different. But there's so many choices on there. It's so overwhelming to me.
At a Mexican restaurant? It's like fajita. It's like beans, meat, and tortilla.
No.
Like, just in different combinations.
You need to come to Texas.
But we you get two choices in the Mexican restaurant.
You mean Taco Bell isn't real Mexican food?
That's not Mexican food. Oh, but we have all these, you have all these choices. You always want to try something different, but because there's so much to choose from, you always go with the cheese enchiladas, which is what you're safe with that. And that's what people do with sports packages. They always go with what they're safe. You have a high package, a low package, and a middle package. The average is going to go with the middle package. And so I needed to get that middle package at a higher price point by adding these other items. And once I got it out there and I promoted it beforehand and got the coaches on board with it, all of a sudden the coaches are getting promotional posters that are like, oh, this is making our team look really cool. You have them on display the day of the shoot. You send them flyers with the parents. And all of a sudden everybody wants it. You get 37. I sold 37 the first time I ever sold this. Within 2 weeks later, I sold another 24, 25 because everybody had one and nobody wanted to be left out. The next year, I added muscle overlays to their
Yeah, I've seen you do that with your students that are in the portrait center. It's like, are they all on steroids? It's amazing. But they look incredible.
But,
by the way, before we go further on that, is there a website that's like a client website where people can go and check out the work that we're talking about right now?
Yeah, I'm sturdeventstudio.com.
Sturdeventstudio.
Yeah, I need to update it, though.
Okay, all right, you can at least get an inkling of what it's all about. All right. And you're obviously going to be on Facebook and stuff, too. So.
Yeah, well, Facebook would be, you'll see the most current work. And that's Richard Sturdivant on Facebook. And
the Richard Sturdivant.
No, just Richard Sturdivant. But you can see most of my work, and then Sturdivinci Art Tools on Facebook page.
And that's your website for photographers.
Sturdivinci Art Tools, my Facebook page.
Oh, the Facebook page.
And then Sturdivinci.com is for photographers, and you can see all of my how-to tutorials. And
dude, I bought your Photoshop backgrounds for sports before.
I have a buttload of those.
Yeah,
they're
intense. I used them for my first time for. We have some volleyball clubs that we shoot every January, and I use one of your volleyball backgrounds, and like people are losing their minds over like the difference because we composite the team pictures now and do it that way. Like people lose their minds over it. It's so different.
Well, that's how that started, those backgrounds that started from using those were all images I used for my clients in different schools. And then I'm like, you know, I can turn this into more money because I can help other photographers, because a lot of photographers are struggling with learning how to think and, you know, to create these ideas. And they want templates, and these were different than most backgrounds. They're all in PSD layers.
Yeah, very useful.
So, you know, you could do almost customize it however you want. But back to the the sports, you know, when we start adding muscles to the posters and everything, we did it as an add-on. We didn't say this is what you need to do or what you need to look like. It was an add-on.
It's an upsell. Like, does your kid want a six-pack?
So they could add like muscles for $25.
Can you do that to me?
I can.
Can you make me look not like chubby Chris Pratt?
I can make you look like Guardians of the Galaxy Chris Pratt.
Woo!
Woo!
Yeah. Man, if I weren't already married, that would be my Tinder picture.
That'd be like way better than like that little crazy raccoon, though, right?
But, it'd be funny if he photoshopped me into Groot instead. Groot. That'd be,
I am Groot.
Yeah.
But with
best acting Vin Diesel's ever done. True story. True story.
Looked good, too. Best role. Looked really handsome.
He's the best
too,
he's ever looked. Absolutely.
But yeah.
Tall, strong.
We added a 24 by 36 inch print for $150 plus with the add ons, you know, if they went with all
that. Wait, you sell 24 by 36 in volume sports?
Uh-huh.
And do a lot of people buy those?
Yeah, I sell about.
Because that's breaking the 8x10 mold that I don't on volume.
Are you doing, are they posters or banners?
They're posters. They're not banners. They're posters that they can actually have framed and hang in their house. And they're so good that they will actually hang them in their house. And they can get them. There's a difference. There's the posters, which, you know, we call them something different every year. We had the True Grit posters this year.
Yeah, I think I've seen those. Yeah. Those are really cool. And you can see those on your Facebook page.
Then we have what we call storefront posters, which are smaller versions of the banners that we do for the schools. But the True Grit posters, they can actually frame and put up, and they're just really cool. They can add cuts and grit to them for an extra amount of money, and they can add the muscles. And
are you also doing the student photos?
No. Like the yearbook photos? I used to do the student photos, but it's just – I just didn't want to have all that volume. I just want to do sports. I don't really like kids.
Don't you have kids?
I do have kids. I love them, but I just...
Just, you know, other people's kids.
When you get into high school, you know, it's just... you're taking... When you do that volume work, if you have to make a decision to be a full volume studio. I wasn't willing to commit to that, so I went to just sports. I gave up the cap and gown and all that. And because it takes a tremendous amount of phone support, web support to handle those.
Every time we do volumes, I spend a lot of time with parents after the fact, like, I don't like my kid's ear and weird, stupid stuff like that. Now, conversely, Trish, you do a lot of schools.
We do a lot of schools, yeah. We started doing schools 3 years ago. We had three, and now we do over 20. And so, for me, I go for kids that are students preschool, elementary, up to middle school, because typically that's when parents are buying.
And they stop
and
buying.
They do.
Can give middle a shit school, about their high the school kids, age kids' pictures.
No, it's not that. Middle school, they're those awkward years. The kids usually have a little bit of a, you know, tendency not to want to be
like
in front of the camera.
Their baby teeth
like
have
that.
Fallen out, but their only two adult teeth are their two front teeth.
It's their braces, you know, all that kind of stuff. So,
oh, yeah,
you know,
acne, etc. Yeah.
Goes kind of from elementary school, skips over, yeah,
eighth,
you know,
ninth,
until you
tenth
get to
grade.
Seniors.
That's some awkward ass years, man.
Kids are ugly
at those years.
There's a real trend though right now in the industry heading more toward tweens.
I've heard this tween photography.
Yeah, tweens are awesome. So those are those years where, you know, they're getting their braces off. They're kind of coming into their own. And
Jared
wanting-
from Subway got arrested for that.
Taking braces off? No.
No, tweens.
Tweens.
yeah, that's pretty much one of the most depressing things that's ever happened since, I don't know, but yeah.
Probably the most exciting thing.
Thanks for being a bummer,
yeah.
Richard. Appreciate that.
But no, it is. It's a great time to do that. And, you know, for a lot of studios, it is a good place to be to kind of, you know, step into that market. And then for us doing seniors, we do a lot of high school seniors, not contract. So the school really puts our name out there three times a year at least.
But that means you're not doing the yearbook photos? So they're having to do yearbook photos and come to you also?
Yep, we do yearbook photos for smaller, you know, like up until middle school. We don't really market to the middle schools and the high schools. We do them. We do some private schools that include high school. But the service items and things that we need to provide, it just really cuts into the profit. So it's great for us. We just stay, you know, kind of in the smaller, you know, ages and stuff like that where the parents are really buying, because those are the years where they change so much. And then middle school things kind of settle down till you really get ready for high school and college. So it's a good thing.
When we send the order forms home, because we go for prepay, you know, mm-hmm. If you go for prepay, you're going to make a lot more money.
I can absolutely attest to that. So what we're talking about is, instead of having people order on the spot or online order after the fact when you're shooting volume work, you're sending order forms home so that they send the order forms with the envelopes and the cash and they bring them to school. And as a personal note, we did our first volume job 1 year, and we picked it up halfway through because their photographer crapped out and everything was online ordering. We made very little money. The next year we did pre-orders, and we did like – quadruple.
We do all of it. You know, we'll do the pre-orders online, and then they prepay the day of the shoot. And then what we'll do is we actually will do second sales. So we'll get in there, and when we're doing first sales, we'll do something where it's the packaging is good, you're delivering it, you're not going with those big bulk items and things like that. And then when we go second sales, it's, you know, fulfilled through the lab, and it ships directly for, you know, to them. So right. Then you can get those bigger, bulkier.
You kind of want to do all of
items,
it, right?
Absolutely. You want to be covering every
there are
base
people
you
that just do not want to put any money down until they see the pictures.
Yeah, you're gonna have.
I mean, I feel like it's a minority, but they're definitely there. And if you're not doing second sales, you are leaving some money on the table.
But you have to create a sense of urgency, and you have to educate them and create that want that they have to have it then. And we do sales online after the fact, but we don't tell them that we're going to put them up. We send a letter home
after the fact. Absolutely.
We also send a letter home. And
because
say,
then they won't make the decision that's like, I'll wait till they're online. Because they will wait if they know they're coming, where otherwise they might have ordered ahead of time.
Mm-hmm. When we send the order from home, we also send a letter home talking about the day of the shoot, you know, about their kid shaving, about their kid making their hair sure. Their
shaving?
Hair. Yeah.
Oh, okay. You're shooting high school kids. That's what I was thinking. Oh, for some reason, my mind was on Trisha's stuff where she shoots like kindergartners. I'm like, you shave your kindergartners.
So there are some kindergartners in Maine. Yeah.
If they're Cuban, maybe.
Yeah, Maine's a little quirky.
Yeah. That's common, Gary. Don't be judgmental.
But
Dude, I went to school with a kid, Mauricio, when I was in sixth grade, and the kid had a full beard.
He's in what grade?
Cuban, sixth grade, full beard. Wow. True story.
Yeah, elementary school, preschool, very rarely. But sometimes, you know, the teachers sometimes.
I like the bad mustache, like the wispy middle school mustache.
That's not good. Yeah,
I dig that.
But we also tell them that, explain what's going to happen during the shoot and what the posters are about. We tell them on the package pictures, we're going to take two shots. On the poster pictures, we're going to take three shots. And they should have their pose already planned, and we give them examples of the poses that we're using for the posters. And, you know, we just try to get them as prepared as possible. And if they want to choose the picture, then it's a $15 charge added on to the already package, and we'll give them a week to choose the picture. We'll post it online in a private group.
The other thing that we do, too, with the second sales is we have a way, when we do the second sales, we actually offer totally different products that are, you know, a step up. So the system that we use...
Talking about, like, novelty things, like the bottles and
novelty
the ornaments
things,
or whatever they
you know,
want.
Ornaments,
blankets.
Jewelry, you know, things
pop-up
like that.
Pop-up tent, dog sweater.
That's a good one. We'll call the lab and ask them to add that, Gary.
But, by the way, photographers out there, I had $1 million idea. Somebody go buy the domain Bark Mitzvah. Because you know that there are somebody out there doing dog bar mitzvah photography. It's got to be a thing. There's got to be some Jewish couples out there with no kids, and that they really love their dog. Bark Mitzvahs. Or Mazel Dogs. It's Mazel Dogs or Bark Mitzvah. I'm really working on it. Please, somebody buy that domain and email Photobomb Podcast. Okay, so we are way, way over on our normal recorded time because we've been having a blast, and you guys are like such an amazing wealth of information. So I want to wrap this up by doing this one thing. I do. Okay, so you're looking.
Should we be scared?
You both deal largely in volume, right? So tell me what's the one thing that you can do? Your number one tip, if there's somebody who wants to add volume photography to their business. The number one thing you know when you're starting to go get that work, what's that thing, that piece of advice that you need to give to somebody?
What they need to get?
No. How to get the work. How do you start volume?
Man, it's different in every town. I mean,
sports. How do you approach a school? How do you get that work?
Well, I go straight to the booster club and the coaches. And, you know, you usually have to either become an approved vendor, which means you have to go for the school district before you can even talk to anybody.
So I probably wouldn't pass the test.
That means you have to go through a background check, make sure you're not, you know, don't have any criminal activity in your
not
background.
A creeper. Got it.
Not a creeper. Not
picture
a,
not
drive
in the
a
post
mini-
office. No minivan.
if you drive a minivan.
The white van with no windows.
Richard and I recommend you do sell your minivan, we're just saying.
It is a little rapey, I got to be honest.
But most people wanting to get into this... They're gonna get resistance because there's a lot of big contract companies that are you know, that are actually have the contracts for the schools, and they're almost impossible to break into. So at that point, you know, if you don't have a connection within the school district, you can keep sending letters into the school district, proposals into the school district. But here's my secret. Mm. Go to the Parent Booster Club. Get them known. They will do. They will get you in.
Like if the parents are making enough of a fuss.
The parents control the schools.
They'll do it to shut the parents up.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever wanted to deal with a parent? No.
No, hell no. That's why I don't shoot kids.
Right. If a parent wants this bad enough, they're going to get it. And the booster clubs, you know, it depends on the school and the area. I know up here, up north, they do things a little different than
they're probably the most involved of the parents, like the booster club parents. They're the ones who really plugged in.
Here's a little key. Most of the booster club parents have kids that are on the team, like the stars. Do something for that kid and get that parent on your side, and you're golden.
I think that's an amazing piece of free advice for Richard Sturdivant. Go ahead, Trish.
For me, on the you know, the school side of it, there's a lot of unhappy parents in general, just with the quality of the pictures they're getting.
The bar is pretty low.
I hear it all the time. So,
I was talking to somebody earlier. I think the reason that schools use LifeTouch and companies like I don't think there are any anymore. I think LifeTouch is pretty much it.
Interstate.
There are a few, but LifeTouch is probably like the biggest one. But the quality may not be there, and I'm not anti-LifeTouch because they certainly provide a service, but they make it so incredibly easy for the teacher who's in charge of the yearbook. You know what I mean? They're like...
Yeah, you know what the thing is with it, though? I think, you know, for me, when I first started out, I was given the opportunity to get into doing schools. I never thought I'd become a school photographer. But I started talking to parents and, you know, hearing their complaints and what they liked and what they didn't like. And really just persistence, like Richard said, is a huge thing. But also, you know, a lot of times, like I have kids, I've been on the PTO, all of that. They hate schlepping candy bars and, you know, all these fundraisers and things like that. So with school photography, you know, and probably sports too in your area, I would think, there are commission-based fundraising things that you can do. And when you're first starting out and you're going against the big guns, people think that because you're small, you can't compete with them. And if you have a really good lab that gives you everything you need, you can compete.
You got a small company can operate like
exactly
a much bigger
company. Exactly the same as a big...
With a company like... H&H, for example, Sean. Yeah.
It's true, man. I'll tell you, get a good lab, you get the services you need.
You bought my dinner. I'm going to mention you on my show, okay? Yeah. I'm a loyal White House Custom Color sponsored speaker, but you bought me a lobster, so.
Yeah, and the thing, H&H is my lab, and they're fantastic. I love them, but the thing is, like, don't be afraid. You know, persistence is what's going to get you there, and I think that a lot of companies have lost these school jobs because they think they can't do it or they think the big guys are just going to blow them away. But honestly, there's work there to be taken back, and it's time.
I got one more tip.
Shoot, Richard.
If you do get in and do get your shot, remember this.
Do a good job.
Coaches hate your guts.
And principals. Okay? And principals.
And they, if you make it easy on them and you can get this shoot done very quick, they will like you and they will love you and they will support you. Make their life easier because they hate media day. They hate it with a passion. Mm-hmm. And you get in there and you go, I can get you through this in an hour and 15 minutes. And they're like, okay, let's do it. And you get them done in an hour and 15 minutes. I can shoot 100 kids in an hour. And I'm grease lightning when I'm in there shooting.
Grease lightning.
Mm-hmm. Bum, 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 it's bum, true. Bum, bum, I mean, bum. We're doing schools 500 kids in 2.5 hours. We're in, we're out before lunch. And you do it, and you better do it well, because it's quick to lose the job. Bad news travels really, really fast.
Yeah, it's funny.
So get ready to be doing it.
In the retail world, they say that if for every client that you get that praises you or that leaves a good review, you've got 10 clients that left unhappy and didn't say anything. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's a really interesting way to think about it. But yeah, that's awesome. And by the way, you guys have been sharing. We had a good time. We went off book. We went off the rails a little bit. We've had a good time. We've made some jokes. We picked on Richard.
Off the rails, whatever we're doing.
We've told the
Gary.
World what an asshat James is.
It's not nice.
James, you're an amazing sport, by the way.
Just hide in the background.
did rub his butt on you.
He did rub his naked butt on me. That's a photobomb.
That was scary.
But
thank God it's not.
But eventually we got to some amazing, amazing educational content, which is kind of the photobomb thing. It's like a bunch of nonsense and then a couple little gems of amazing.
It's like an Oreo cookie thing. Yeah, start with the nonsense.
I think of it more like a Taco Bell / KFC. There's a bunch of bullshit and fried chicken. So,
but do we get fries with that?
Nashville chicken.
Okay, so thank you, Trish. Thank you, Richard. Thank you, Maine PPA. Thank you, James and Tim and Nick / Will and Patty. All right, and thank you, the Lobster King of Maine right now, Sean from H&H. That's
Gary,
pretty exciting.
Gary.
Yeah, what's up, Richard?
Now that you've had me on the show.
Yeah, man.
This show's going to get you killing it. It's going to be nationwide.
You're a star maker.
I'm a star maker.
That podcaster was nothing until I was on this show. I was killing it.
Excuse me, Trish. This is James here. It's the first time I just met Rich Sternovan like a half an hour ago. So I don't know him very well. But I watched this movie before. It's called Sling Blade. I don't know.
All right, James, get out.
Into the microphone, could you please say, I like the way you talk.
I like the way you talk.
Thank you. The show's officially gone off.
Yes, James. Wow, thank you. Thanks, Gary.
Hey, Trish, thank you for being my co-host.
Yeah, fun.
And Bure, I'm really sorry. I'm serious. No shit. The connection literally was dropping out.
We missed you. We missed you a lot,
Bure. We did. And I know for those of you who immediately turned off the show because Bure wasn't here, I completely understand. So you can find us online at photobombpodcast.com. You can email your questions, concerns, and rants to questions at photobombpodcast.com. We are on Facebook. We are on Instagram. We are on Twitter. And for our listeners,
they are on probation.
And we are on probation. And for those of you listeners, if you need to rent some equipment, save 10% on your next equipment rental by going to thelenspal.com. Ships anywhere in the U.S. Just use the code PHOTOBOMB when you check out, and you will save 10%. And that is our gift to you, our listeners. And I think.
I don't think there's anything more we can do.
I think we're done.
We're done.
We're right, done.
Hey, Tim, do you have any tequila left?
Sure.
Let's
do.
Drink some tequila. Thank you so much. We will see you later.
Thanks, Gary.